How many of you have your Bible with you today? I want to see your Bible. I want to introduce you to my Bible. You know what God's Word says about our Bibles? That it's more precious than gold. It's more precious than silver. And think if you were holding gold in one hand or silver in one hand and your Bible in the other. God says, this is more important, more precious. It's a wonderful light in darkness. Okay? It gives us light in darkness. It gives the best directions in life. It encourages me. It challenges me, as I'm sure it does to you too. And it shows me how to live. And it tells me all I need to know about my Creator. And folks, I love my Bible, and I hope you love your Bible too. I need the Bible. It's God's Word. And God's words fill the pages of the Bible. I love my Bible. I hope you do too. I love reading my Bible in the morning. And many of you have testified of your time in God's Word. And what a precious time that is. When we can spend time with God around His Word. You know what? I often, maybe you're not a morning person. I am a morning person. I like to get up early. And one of the things that I love to do most is to read my Bible. And I often, I begin reading God's Word, often very groggy and very tired. And as I read God's Word, it's like God focuses me and my mind begins to change. And God uses His Word to encourage me and challenges me. And His Word directs me. And I'm sure you can testify of this too. And that fogginess that you have in the morning, God's Word begins to clear that fogginess, and the truths of His Word become precious, and His Word brightens my thoughts and gives clarity to my thoughts. And I want you to know that I love my Bible, and I hope you love your Bible, because it's God's Word. The Creator of the earth has written us a letter, and all His commands, all His words are in here for us today. Not just for years in the past, but it's eternal. His words are eternal. And so I want to share with you a message from God's Word. I've shared this with young people throughout the years. And I want you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7. God laid this theme on my heart a couple weeks back, a couple months back, and this message is not Pastor Jake's message. This message that I'm going to share with you, it wasn't written by me, but it was written by God Himself. As we look at this message, we need to give ear to the Word of God. And if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7. This is a sobering truth for anyone, very sobering truth for anyone. And Jesus is sharing this sobering truth towards the end of His Sermon on the Mount. And those who were listening to His sermon, I'm sure, would have been sobered by the truth that He is bringing forth. But I want us to read our passage together in its entirety, and then come back to it. Let's begin in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Notice what Jesus says in verses 21 through 23. He makes a really sobering reality. And he begins in verse 21 saying that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So not everyone who says that they believe in God will go to heaven. You know, we hear a lot of people say, I have a relationship with God. And it's obvious based upon their testimony that they are not children of God. There's a lot of spiritual talk in the world that we live in. And yet it's obvious that based upon God's word, they have no relationship with God. And the sobering reality for even in a group like us today, there are many in here, I think we would all testify by a raise of hands saying, I believe in God. I have a relationship with God. But Jesus says, not everyone who says they simply believe in God will go to heaven. And notice, you can almost hear Jesus's in his foreknowledge and in his omniscience. He understands what some would be thinking. And so he says, and many will say to me in that day, in verse 22, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now, on the human side of things, if we were to see someone who prophesied something and it came true in the future, we would see that as pretty great, wouldn't we? And notice the next thing he says, and in thy name cast out devils. Can you imagine if today there was someone who had a devil and it was obvious and someone had the ability and they claimed the name of God to cast out that devil? We would be in awe. And imagine that day they would have been in awe of someone who could do that. And certainly that person would be part of God's family, right? Certainly a person who we would think who prophesied or preached the name of God would be part of God's kingdom. And then notice at the end of verse 22, some of you are going to say, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Wow. That term wonderful works, it's almost miraculous. Imagine if someone here did something miraculous in the name of God. And wouldn't we say surely that person would be part of God's kingdom? And Jesus is saying, those who have prophesied in my name, those who have cast out devils in my name, those who have done many wonderful works, they're not going to be part of my kingdom. There's only one way to be part of God's kingdom, and Jesus is going to explain it. And I want to submit to you that Jesus is saying at the end of verse 22, you're going to say to me, you've done many wonderful works, but that's not from God's perspective. Okay, God is not looking at their works that they are doing and saying, wow, this person's got to come to heaven because they're doing wonderful works. The point of view of those wonderful works is from the person. They are saying to God, God, look at my wonderful works. And we'll see what Jesus says to them. Notice verse 23. Notice how God views all of those works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Oh, folks, what a sobering reality. Isn't that scary? Okay. There's so many religious people out there who view their works as being wonderful. God, I've done a lot of work for you. I've spoken a lot about you. I've done even some works that the world would view as being miraculous. And the sobering reality is God says, you know, he views those works as works of iniquity. God views them as sin, evil. They're not good works. He views them as wicked. And so that begs the question. There's a reality. There's a sobering reality. Not everybody who says they know God is going to be part of the kingdom. So who then will be a part of God's kingdom? Who is going to be part of God's kingdom? Look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Remember, Jesus is speaking, and he's giving God's divine truth to this group of people. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So who's going to go to heaven? Who's going to live in God's kingdom? He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And folks, if you were an astute learner there when Jesus was teaching this, what would the question be? Well, God, what is God's will? If people who do God's will, people who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, what is God's will? Folks, I want to submit to you, we could probably talk all night about God's will. But one thing we know in 1 Timothy 2:4, it is God's will that all men would be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. See, anybody can talk about God. But in order to have a real relationship with God, you have to obey God by accepting how he says to be a part of his kingdom. You can't be a part of kingdom based upon the way you think you should be a part of his kingdom. In order to be a part of God's kingdom, you have to be saved based upon his terms. You can't say you know God unless you obey and receive Jesus as your Savior. Folks, we see all over Scripture that is not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. So it's the will of God, in order to get to heaven, it's the will of God that our lives would be conformed to his word. It's the will of God that all would be saved through Jesus Christ, through trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior. See, a lot of people say they love God, but they don't obey God by trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They don't believe that God's way is the right way. You know, a lot of people say, I love God. I have this close relationship with God. You see this on when you knock on doors, you ask them what their relationship with Jesus Christ is. And they say, oh, I just love God. Okay? And it's obvious they have no relationship with Jesus Christ. But a person who has a relationship with God is going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. In order to truly love God, you have to keep his commandments. And John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So in order to have a relationship with Jesus, you have to follow his word. Folks, we have to love his word. We have to keep his word. You can't have a view of God that's based upon your own thinking and expect to be a part of God's kingdom. We have to come to God on his terms. We have to trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and put our trust in him. And we have to trust his word for that continual spiritual growth in our lives. And so in order to have a relationship with God, we have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we have to obey the words of God. And so the will of God that we see in verse 21 that Jesus is talking about is really the obedience to God's word that Jesus has been speaking over the last several chapters. Okay, so God's will is, first of all, that men would be saved, but second, that we would keep his commandments. Oftentimes, dealing with young people, the question comes up, well, what's God's will for my life? Have you ever pondered that question? What's God's will for my life? You know what God's will is for you today? Is to obey his word. Okay? You say, well, Pastor Jake, I want to know which college I want to go to. Okay, I want to know the college that God wants me to go to. Okay, I want to know the person I'm going to marry. Okay, I want to know all these things, what car I should buy, what house I should buy. Okay, I want to know God's will in those things. You know what God wants us to do? Moment by moment, hour by hour, walk according to his word. Walk in the Spirit, obey the word of God, and God will reveal his will. Yeah, as you follow and obey His word. So if you love God, you're going to keep His commandments. You're going to know God's will on a moment by moment basis. So how do you know you're in God's will? Based on how well you're conforming to the word of God. Okay? If you're not conforming to the word of God, you're not in God's will. God's will is not outside His word. And so Jesus is encouraging them. There are many who pretend they know God, and yet they're living their life outside the will of God. Okay? They're living according to their own way of thinking. They're living according to the world's way of thinking. And along the way, they don't give attention to the word of God. Folks, we need to give attention to the word of God. We need to know the word of God. We need to love the word of God. And what Jesus does in this passage, he continues on and he illustrates that point by showing us two groups of people. We're going to look at two groups of people tonight in verses 24 to 27. In this grouping, we see the wise man and we see the foolish man. Now, I want to draw out this word here, the wise man. The word wise there means it's actually the word. It's like an intellectual kind of smart. Okay. The Bible says when you follow God's word, you're smart, you're wise. Okay, when you follow God's word, you're wise. But then that's contrasted, that Jesus is going to illustrate this by what he calls the foolish man, the foolish man. Now, this is, everybody probably already knows this, but I thought this was so funny when I looked at the word for foolish or fool. It comes from the Greek word moros. And it's where we get our word moron. Okay? So there's a great contrast here. There's the wise man who follows God's word. He obeys God's word. He loves the commands of God. And then there's the moron. Okay? This person's dull. Okay? He thinks he's living his life. Okay? But really, in the end, he's dull. He's a moron. Oh, if the kids weren't here, we could use stupid. Okay? That's what the word is. This person is just not wise at all. This person's dull because he doesn't listen to the word of God. He pays no attention to the word of God. He's driven by his own inclination. He doesn't pay attention to the word of God. He talks about God, pretends like he's a child of God, but yet at the end, he's dull. His foundation crumbles, as we'll see. Okay, let's look at this contrast. Here in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Notice what the wise man does, folks. He hears the word of God and then he does the word of God. He just doesn't talk about the word of God. He actually lives out the word of God. And the wise man is the one who chooses to listen to the word of God and then lives out the word of God. And we see in this picture, notice verse 24 again, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Would you say a person who builds a house upon a strong foundations, wise? I mean, I know there's many builders who have done different aspects of building, and we all understand that a person who's going to have a good house, it has to start strong. And that's what Jesus is saying. That wise man has a strong foundation, and his foundation stood strong. It didn't break apart here. So the rock, what's the rock in this illustration of this wise man? Well, the rock, I believe, is the truths from what Jesus has been speaking about. The foundation of God, the words of God. The words of God make a strong foundation for our spiritual life. God's word is the rock. And as we build our lives, our lives upon the word of God, we understand that God sees that as something that is wise. So he or she that hears the word of God and lives their life in conformance to the word of God is considered a wise man. In 1964, the U.S. Coast Guard built a lighthouse 32 miles off the coast of North Carolina, and they called it the Frying Pan Tower. Have you seen that?
No.
It's phenomenal. They have a live stream of it that you can look at. It's 32 miles out in the Atlantic Ocean, and it's built on this rock shoal that kind of 32 miles out. There's rocks that come up. It's very close to the top of the water. The water's very shallow. And they built this lighthouse, this tower, to help people who were consistently getting shipwrecked on this rocky shoal. And the thing that I found intriguing is they put up this permanent structure. They had a temporary, they would have boats that would be out there. The Coast Guard would send out boats on a rotating shift from the late 1800s. And until they made something that was permanent that would stay there. Now, you think of 32 miles out in the ocean, the kind of weather that it would get. Okay? And it's been out there since 1964. And they built it. It's made out of steel. And it's built upon that rocky ledge 32 miles out. And it's withstood multiple hurricanes. Several years ago, there was one in 2018. This is when I came to learn about the Frying Pan Tower lighthouse. And the eye of the storm literally went right over that area. There was one in 2019. In the last several years, we've had several tropical storms and hurricanes that have given it a direct hit. And When I was watching the live stream a couple of years ago, I can't remember the winds, but I remember the flag. They had an American flag in the view of the camera, and there was just a little thread left of the American flag, and it was whipping, and the waves were beating the side of this tower, and the waves were coming up on the deck and everything. It was just a phenomenal a view of God's power. 32 miles out in the middle of the ocean. And it's my understanding that tower today is still standing strong and hasn't blown over. It's been beaten. It's been battered. And it continues to stand. And it's because it has a strong foundation. Even during some of those incredible hurricanes that have given it a direct hit, that Frying Pan Tower has stood strong, and the foundation that it was set upon was strong. And folks, this is our picture of the wise man. The wise man has a strong foundation. It's built upon the rock. And folks, Jesus is illustrating that his words are strong and they're secure. They make a person wise unto salvation, and they also make a person wise in their relationship with God. They make us wise in growing in our walk with the Lord. And so the wise person hears the word of God and then builds their life according to the word of God. You know, folks, God gives us direction for every area of our life. You say, well, I'm a parent, and, you know, God doesn't, you know, teach us about staying up in the middle of the night and not getting sleep. Okay, but you know what God does teach? He might not teach about how to feed a baby, but he gives you the grace. Okay, to endure. You say, well, you know, I'm getting older, and you know, I'm getting towards this older chapter of my life, and you know, there are things that I just don't like that you know, are a little different to me. Well, folks, God's word gives us direction, gives us hope. It gives us structure for our lives. Maybe you're a young person. You say, you know, I just don't know what God really has for me. I don't know what God's, I don't know what I need to do and where I need to go, what I should pursue. But folks, I'm telling you, young person, as you live your life according to the word of God, it's like a strong foundation. You can have great hope and great vision and purpose in your life as you follow God's word. And so the wise person is going to hear God's word. And as the Spirit of God works in your life through the word of God, you're going to build your life upon his word. And then you're going to look back and you say, oh, yeah, that was God's will. Praise God for that. You know, I obeyed God's word and I'm thankful for that. You know what, folks, the wise person is going to say, you know what, God, How do you want me to live in this particular situation? God, how do you want me to be a parent? Okay. God, what does your word say about being a parent? God, what does your word say about me being a child and respecting my parents and obeying them? God, what does your word say about my relationship with my pastor or my relationship with other people in my church body? God, what do you say in your word about my relationship to the government? God, how do you want me to live in that particular way? What do you say about those particular things? God, what do you want me to do when my sibling's just driving me nuts? How should I respond to that person? How do I deal with offenses, God? How do you want me to deal with an offense? Folks, God's word gives us direction for all those things. And if we would only listen to the word of God, we could build a strong foundation for our life to be lived out on. God, how should I communicate? God, you know, I'm just the kind of person who just likes to speak whatever comes to my mind. You know, that's just who I am. God says, no, don't be that way. God, how do you want me to communicate? God, I just don't really have purpose in my life. I don't know why I'm here, why I'm living. You know, folks, God's word gives us purpose, gives us hope, gives us direction, gives us a reason to live. Without God's word, certainly the way people are living, they certainly don't have purpose to live without God's word, without living according to God's will. God's word gives us instruction in all those areas. And folks, that's what the wise man will do. The wise man or the wise woman will come to God's word and say, God, I don't know the answer to this question, but I'm going to search your word and I'm going to find it. I need a strong foundation for my life to be lived on. So the wise man's going to build his life upon God's word. But there's another kind of person, the moron, okay, the fool. You know what the fool does? And folks, we hear this all the time. We see this, okay? I've worked with young people enough. You've worked with young people enough to know that there are some who say they do this to any kind of authority, any kind of instruction. No thanks. Okay? Not interested. Okay? That's what the fool does. The fool doesn't listen to God's word. This man hears God's truth. And he doesn't obey it. He might just kind of shake his head when his parents are saying, okay, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, I know, we're doing devotions tonight. Yeah, mm-hmm. But he doesn't obey the word of God. Notice what we see in verse 26. This is where we see the fool. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. You know what happens to a person's life who hears the word of God, who's been under the teaching of the word of God, and has been blessed to grow up in a Christian home, and has heard and been discipled in God's word for years, and then this person goes out and totally disregard all that teaching, you know what the Bible says? Their whole foundation crumbles. It's not that the word of God crumbled. It's that everything they've built their whole thinking upon, no thanks, God. I'm not going to build my life upon your word at all. I don't like your word. Okay, I like my own way of thinking. I love the pleasures of this world, God. I love the way that I think and the way that I view the world. And God, I'm not interested in what you have to say. Folks, Jesus is saying that foundation crumbles. It falls apart. And we see this so often. So many young people, they sit under good Bible teaching. They have godly parents and they grow up in good Christian homes and they disregard the word of God. They disregard good Bible teaching, and years later they're like, "What happened to my life? You know, God's so mean to me." Okay, yet they've disregarded God's word throughout their whole life. Have you ever tried to build a sandcastle? We live in Rhode Island, okay, so we can go to the beach when it starts getting cold, and so we enjoy the beach when it's cold. And sandcastles are fun to make, but they don't last and they don't stand strong. You know what happens? Sometimes we'll make a sandcastle and we'll come back the next day. And I don't think I've ever come back to find the sandcastle intact. Okay, have you? Maybe you're different, and you're a really good architect with sand. But I found out that even as you're making them, you know, they're falling apart. And it's so sad because when you build it with just a little guy, you know, you have one of your little guys and you're, you know, just having fun with them. You know, they're building this thing. And they don't understand that the thing's going to fall down with the first wave. And they see the wave coming and, the wave just crashes it over and there goes your sandcastle. I'm like, I can't believe that happened. You're like, you know, that's just what happens. The waters come, right? We understand that. The winds come, blows the sandcastles apart, and the tide water pushes through the sand. And it undercuts the base of the castle. And really, after a few hits of the wave, that sandcastle is destroyed. It has no foundation. And it just happens. Okay? That's how it is. Sand is not a good foundation. And folks, what a wonderful picture that Jesus is making here. That when you build your life outside of the truths of God's word, your life's going to crumble. Okay? And you say, well, I'm very successful from the world's point of view, and I've lived outside the truths of God's word. Well, that's only God's mercy. But in eternity, your life is a failure. Okay? You can live for yourself here on earth, and you can have great success here on earth. You could gain the whole world. But God says, what a sad thing when you lose your soul. Okay. So the picture here of the sand in this crumbling sand is the picture of the fool. He built his life upon something that wasn't eternal. He didn't build his life upon something that will last. His foundation was weak, and the rains came, the floods came, the winds blew and it beat the house and it was destroyed because his life wasn't built upon a strong foundation. Folks, I want to challenge us. How are you building your life today? You say, Pastor Jake, I'm in my 80s. I'm in my whatever. Do we have 90s? Okay. You know, my life is done building. I submit to you, we build our life until the day we die. And you will continue to build and continue to build. Some of you are at the early stages of building. Some of you, your house is almost done. Okay. But we continue to build until the day we die. Are you building with the truths of God in mind? Or have you built this whole facade based upon your own thinking? Let me ask you this. Maybe you're a parent. How have you built your parenting style? Is it upon God's word? How do you teach your children? Do you use the world's methods? Maybe you're a grandparent. Do you teach these wonderful truths to your grandkids? Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're a teenager. Are you discerning God's will through knowing his word? Young person, what a sad thing it is to go through life and only to look back and say, you know what? I wish I had built my life 10 years ago upon the words of God. Okay, I know if you were to talk to many people here, that they wish 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that they had started serving God at an earlier age. So how are you building today? Wherever you are in that process of building, are you building your life upon a strong foundation? I'm going to submit to you that you're either building as a fool or as a wise man. You're either a moron or you're wise. Folks, that's what God is saying. Don't get mad at me. If you're living your life outside the direction of the word of God, your foundation's going to crumble. And the sad thing is that one day we're going to stand before God. And if you haven't trusted in Christ as your Savior, you're going to stand before God and God's going to say the sobering truth. I never knew you. You say, oh, well, God, I was a preacher. Okay. I even prophesied. Oh, I raised a great family. Okay. I was part of Cornerstone. I cast out devils. I did all these wonderful works, God. And what a sobering reality that if you don't have a genuine relationship with God and you haven't lived your life, you haven't built your foundation upon Jesus Christ and his words, The sobering reality is if you're a fool, God's going to say, I never really had a relationship with you. You didn't care about my words. You didn't care about me. You wanted to come to heaven, but you didn't care about Jesus Christ. You didn't care about my words. Folks, we got to stop playing religion. We got to stop playing church. We need to develop a relationship with God based upon His terms, His word. And what you'll find is He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's a good God. And you can have a very close, wonderful relationship with the God who created you. And you can build your life upon this strong foundation that will never crumble. Folks, there's so many people out there who are going on, you know, their different streak of what they think is religion. Folks, they always crumble before God. And I want to submit to us that we need to more and more listen to the word of God and hear the word of God. You know, the fool disregards God's word, kind of looks at God's word as old fashioned. Oh, God, I don't need any of that. The fool does that. He doesn't obey it. The fool does that which is right in his own eyes, the Bible says. The fool lacks wisdom, but he thinks so highly of himself. Oh, folks, what a sad thing to think that we could be in a state of a fool and think we're still right with God. How deceitful our hearts can be. And so I want you to judge your life. God, how wise am I? Have I lived my life according to your word? Am I living my life according to your word? Folks, I don't know how you live throughout the week. I see you here at Cornerstone. You look all prim and proper and you look so professional. But I want to submit to you the most important relationship is your walk with God. In your relationship with God. The fool is arrogant, proud, won't listen to the word of God. Even when godly parents or a pastor or godly friends try to share with them the word of God. Listen, you're going down this wrong way. And godly friends try to draw them back. And yet they look at that as, I want nothing to do with you. Okay, that's a fool. The fool is the one who won't hear from God, won't listen to God. But you know what they are going to hear from God? I never knew you, verse 23. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Folks, that's a sobering reality. Do you know that? That could be any of us in here if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a real love for God at all, you look at God's word as kind of optional. Maybe you've built your life upon your own thinking and you've always disregarded what the pastor says, what your godly teachers say and what your godly friends say. And you disregard the word of God. Chances are you're in a predicament. You're in a place that is a scary place. And I want to encourage you to come back to God or come to God and begin that relationship with Him. And so I want to encourage us here today, whatever area you are in your life, in building your house, your spiritual house, be wise. Listen to God's word. Come to God's word and seek His direction. God, I don't know the answer to this. But I want to know the answer. I know your spirit will always guide me into truth. And I know that your word is truth. So I want you to teach me in the way that I ought to go. And I want to encourage you, if the Spirit of God is pressing on your life in a particular area, submit to the word of God. Do you know that a fool doesn't care? Oh, I know I need to get right with God. I'll do that someday. You know, it just totally disregards the word of God. But a wise man is going to hear God's word. He's going to submit to the leading of the Spirit of God. And he's going to obey the word of God. So where are you at? Jesus ends his Sermon on the Mount with this illustration. And we see that as Jesus ended the saying, the people were astonished at his doctrine. I believe there was a sobering reality there that many of them were playing church. They were playing that they had a relationship with God. And Jesus knew that they were fools. There were many who were fools. And so I want to submit to you. Are you a fool or are you wise men? The Bible says in James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Okay. So what is your relationship with God? Are you a wise man or are you a fool? If you're a fool, God loves you. He's merciful. He wants you to come back. He wants you to come to Him. And you'll find that that he will forgive you and he will be merciful to you. Let's pray. God, thank you for being so kind to us. We know that oftentimes we're really prone to being fools. We're prone to being just follow our own flesh. But God, I'm thankful that as a believer, we have the Spirit of God, and we know that your Spirit will always guide us into truth. And so thank you for that direction. Thank you for your wisdom. I do pray that if there are some here that don't have a relationship with you and who have disregarded your word, help them to see the importance of putting you first in their life. Help them to receive Christ as their Savior. Father, we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," when we stand before you. We don't want to hear, "Depart from me, ye who work iniquity." I do pray that you would help us to be wise in our life. Help us to build upon the strong foundation of your word. God, I do pray that if there are fools here, that they would turn to you and that they would be wise men. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time that we've had to look at your word. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.